Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today, and we got a lot to talk about. We're going to look back a little bit, not that far back, but to the Ryder Cup, and kind of go over some of the things that happened there. Most of them bad, if you happen to be a fan of the American team. But also changes maybe that might be in the wind and what's happening there. In the meantime, PGA Tour, LIV Tour continue to go down their parallel tracks, headed for December. That's when they're supposed to put all this together. And it's kind of like, you know, when the government's going to shut down until the last minute they figure it out. And maybe it'll be the same thing for the LIV Tour agreement with PGA Tour down to the last minute, because there's been a lot being talked about in the last few months. And December will be here before you know it. So we'll see how that all plays out and what it's going to mean. I think the LIV Tour is actually up for consideration to get world golf ranking points in their events. And it would seem to me that they would have to now that they have an agreement. And so that could change a lot of things too. President's Cup and Ryder Cup when it comes to world golf rankings. So that's in the wind as well. Steve Johnson is going to be joining us here very shortly to give us his hot opinions of Ryder Cup and other things, and we'll get to Steve in just a few minutes. In the meantime, Frank Bassett in the Nashville studios, joining as always. How you doing, Frank?
All right.
Everything yes, good?
Sir. Absolutely. I'm glad the Ryder Cup's over with. Much ado about nothing, I believe.
Well, it was
Hatgate and
so much drama, right?
Drama.
So much drama.
Drama for your mama. It was ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, there's golf drama because the U.S. was getting throttled, and then
almost
drama
came back
off the course. Yeah. I say almost, not really.
Yeah, they did. They did pretty good, but
they put a little scare. No, it's Frank. Come on, they did pretty good. You're really accepting what they did as anything but
they did as good
failure?
As they could do with the team that was selected.
No, I don't think so.
I think they could have done better with some better picks.
You think Koepka, Scheffler, Scottie Scheffler did the best they could do in that match?
Oh no, they did. They did the best they could do based on how they've been playing. Yeah.
It was horrible.
That's what I mean.
But something happened, and that's kind of the point of it, is what is getting into their heads. There's no way those two golfers at the level they're at could play that kind of golf. What'd they finish, Frank? Like the first seven holes, they were like eight over?
Yeah, it was
or something like that?
Yeah, it was pretty poor.
It was the worst blowout in history. What did I predict?
Every show before the Ryder Cup. Months
that the U.S. would lose.
I said, the U.S. is going to lose.
Yeah.
And then when the picks were made by Captain Johnson, I said, wow. Well, okay, goodbye. Say goodbye.
Yeah. Hope everybody has a good time with their buddies.
Don't worry about it. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There's a lot more going on, too, besides the Ryder Cup. I want to mention this before we get in with Steve. But
okay.
LIV, of course, LIV Golf, big deal.
Yeah.
Big tournament for me, at least. I'm heading down to Jackson, Mississippi.
You are?
Yeah, Sanderson
Farms.
You're
going to Sanderson Farms?
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, I got to go down to Jackson.
You're going to go.
Yeah. I decided last night that I'm going to run down there. So this afternoon, I'm heading out. But I can tell you that there's something else going on in the wind, and we won't get into it very deeply, but there's another golf league that just announced their relationship with ESPN, ESPN Plus. That's the Tiger Woods, Roy McIlroy deal called the Tiger Golf League, the TGL, whatever they're going to call it.
Is that going to work?
I don't know. We'll talk to Steve about that. It's kind of cool the way they're doing it. And it's going to be team play.
Simulators.
It's going to be sponsored by SoFi. Okay, they brought in SoFi. Let's bring in an investment bank firm and basically a huge lending organization to back it. So
I don't know.
There's a lot of golf leagues.
Are people going to watch guys hitting into simulators?
I think
I get that you could do it, and maybe there'll be an on-site because they're actually having golfers. I mean, pro golfers are going to be on these teams.
And they've signed more right after the Ryder Cup. I mean, all the big names are going to do it from the PGA Tour.
Terrell Hatton just signed up and some other guys. So, I mean, are people going to literally sit there on TV and watch guys hit into a screen?
I don't know. I think we've got somebody that's sitting at the PGA of America headquarters right now that we probably should ask.
He has no idea. He's so clueless.
Sure he does.
All right, well, let's bring him in. You want to bring him in?
Bring him in. Yeah, go ahead. Okay.
Same place, actually, on the major campus that Zach Johnson made the captain's picks.
Oh, my God.
PGA headquarters in Frisco a few weeks back, and that's where Steve Johnson is he'll tell us why he's there, and he joins us now. How you doing, Stevie Ray?
Hey, guys. Good morning, guys. I'm at the National Rent-A-Car PGA Junior League Championships.
Hey,
what is it about?
It's for kids. It's for kids. It's a PGA. Originally, it was designed to get kids into golf and competition. It's an annual event. They have 4 2-man teams, boys and girls. This one here is 14 and under, and they play 2-man scrambles, and then they add their scores up. They take the best 3 scores out of the 4, and I mean, it is a big production here, boys. It's
14 and under.
Televised on ESPN this weekend.
Nice,
cool.
And this is a culmination of a week long celebration for this PGA Junior League. Which
do you have
great,
some players in the hunt? Some of your students, maybe?
I have one student here, and he's 14, and he is about 2 heads taller than anybody else on his team.
Good.
he's a monster.
Early growth spurt.
He's huge. Oh my gosh. You know, especially for boys 14 and under, you've got the kids that have hit puberty, you know, and my
Some
student
still
is
waiting.
One of them. And then you've got his partner is about 3'11", you know, and he's just tiny.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Now, this is teams. Is your player from Texas? Is he on the Texas team?
Yeah, this is the Texas team. It's actually Brookhaven Country Club.
Cool.
Put the team together. But, I mean, just like any competition, they've outlawed this in the meantime, but they used to have recruits from international recruits, but now people can go across state lines as long as they play on the team for at least a few events.
They've outlawed it.
I guess some of the gallery come here.
People are going to jail.
Oh yeah, that's right.
That's right. Lock them up.
Recruiting.
You can win a plastic trophy. Anytime you can win a plastic trophy, man, there's going to be people pushing the limits.
That's right.
And well, good. Have a good day out there. It's cooler today. It's a beautiful morning, isn't it?
But it is a beautiful fall morning, though. It's nice. No wind. We did have a little storms here. We had rain here finally, Frank. 6 months of no rain. So
it soaked it up, but still dry, right?
Yeah. Kinda, like a sponge. So
exactly. But what's the temp? What's the temp there today?
I bet it's in the 60s right now.
Oh, that's perfect.
On its way to 85. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not the hot heat that we've been having. Yeah. So, and cooler mornings. Yeah. I mean, it for a long time, as people know, I mean, the coolest it ever got, you'd wake up in the morning, it'd be 88 degrees.
Yeah.
You know, so it's as cool as it ever got.
So given that being the case, what are the course conditions like?
The course, we're playing the resort course. They have 36 holes out here at the PGA headquarters. We're playing the West course, which is the resort course, they call it, but it is not easy, Frank.
Not bad.
No, there's no rolling the ball up onto the green.
Oh, that's solo. Forget about it.
Yeah.
I'm not playing it.
It's got a lot of long, wild natural grasses, if you will, that you have to play between and hit the shots from fairway to greens and whatnot. So
is the rough pretty difficult? I mean, is it grown up?
There is rough out here, but then there's the native grasses like Tim's talking about that come into play on almost every hole.
Oh, boy. Well, it's a good test for the kids.
It's one of those courses that you kind of wish there were trees because you at least hit from underneath the trees. You hit into that native grass and the ball's gone, right? It's not crazy, you know, maybe like it was in Italy for the Ryder Cup, but similar to that. I mean, you got to go find the ball and it's down in 3 feet of grass and then try to smack it out sideways. So
if anyone is listening to this show here, they can watch it on TV on ESPN this weekend. They can see exactly what I'm seeing. It's beautiful.
It is a pretty course. They put a lot of money into that. I was talking, Frank, earlier with Steve, and that whole enterprise, if you will, when PGA of America announced and they were moving from Florida to Texas, I don't know what the deal was, but I think they got like 2,000 acres to do anything they want. So the two golf courses, the practice facilities, the practice greens, the headquarters and the buildings and the PGA North Texas headquarters is there. I mean, it's a campus. It is like you're at a university. It's crazy how extensive everything is there, including the two golf courses. And it is a beautiful place. You're right, Steve. People should watch that on ESPN, get a taste of it a little bit. All right, Steve, let's go a little bit back to Ryder Cup and your evaluation. I'm going to talk to you and since then and what happened. Give us your thoughts on, we all know the results of it, and the Europeans got out to a 4-zip lead and never really looked back. As Frank said, there became a little bit of a challenge, if you will, on Sunday, which it always would be. You got 12 matches, right? There's 12 points out there, so something drastic could happen. But the U.S. still lost by a considerable margin, and coming off of a big win 2 years before, right, at Whistling Straits. So it's kind of gone back and forth where the big win for the U.S. and a big loss for the U.S.
30 years it's gone back and forth.
But the when you go to Europe and you play on their soil, the U.S. hasn't won since Frank was in junior high. It's maybe eighth grade.
I mean, I appreciate that very much.
What is the problem here, Steve? How come they can't go over there and even compete?
Well, it's hostile over there, believe it or not. There's a lot of it on TV, but there's a lot of it they can't talk about. But the European team's going to experience that in 2 years when they go to Long Island and play
Bethpage.
I mean, it will be some rude comments. Yeah, I mean, and you know what? And it does get the players upset. These guys are really good at blocking out because the fans are so close to the play. They can hear stuff. Just like when Brian Harman won the Open Championship this year, there was guys heckling him every hole. Guys,
hell yeah,
saying stuff.
Yeah,
you know, and he handled it very well. But it, you know, when the emotions fly high, man.
Well, New York's going to be brutal. Tough. You're right. New York will be absolutely brutal.
Well, what about the team, the way it was set up, Steve, and go to that and go to where I was referencing Jack Johnson picking the team and the criticism now. The captain always gets a lot of criticism and gets glory if they win, but criticism in this case that he picked a bunch of guys that like each other and friends and did not necessarily focus on picking the 12 best players that they could have on that team. And it started to pay off because it started to not pay off because very, very early, some of those guys were not playing well. Spieth, in particular, had a horrible. Burns did not play very well. Ricky has never played well in Ryder Cup. They keep picking him, and he's, I think, won one or two points in like four or five Ryder Cups. I mean, he just never seems to do well. Are they doing this wrong? Is there something that needs to be thrown out and say, okay, let's get serious about this and actually pick the best golfers and not just guys that want to go and hang out with each other?
Well, I mean, you'd always like to pick the best golfers, Tim, but also that this friendship deal is a big deal too, this camaraderie. But when you have a practice round and you get the team together to go to play the course in Italy before the event starts and you can only get 8 out of the 12 guys to go, there's something's wrong there. I mean, I can see Jordan Spieth getting a pass because his wife's giving birth, you're having their second child. I can see him getting a pass, but I can't see the other three guys. I'm not sure who the guys were that didn't go, but it was said on television that 8 out of the 10 went, which that's a pretty pitiful showing for that type of, you know, hey, let's build some team, let's build some camaraderie, let's go prepare for this event, let's get ready.
Another thing,
Tim. Jordan Spieth hadn't played in 5 weeks. There's a bunch of guys that hadn't played since the Tour Championship.
Right.
I mean, right. When do you go into a major event and not play for 5 weeks?
And that, Frank, is my question to you, is the Europeans seem to do it differently, right? And it seems to work for them. So that's, I guess, my bigger question is, should we not emulate the working formula, which is they almost all continue playing competitive golf up until even a week or two, at least until they play Ryder Cup. They don't take off. They don't just go work with their coaches and do their own thing, which is the American way. And it doesn't seem like it certainly doesn't work when they go to Europe. But they also, and Azinger referred to this and some other guys, they just don't seem to take it as seriously. The Europeans have it like going through their veins, their blood to win Ryder Cup. And the Americans, it's kind of like they're going to go have a good social time and kind of hope that they can win and play well. But then again, they never really do, and it doesn't seem to change anything. They never really change their attitude.
The Ryder Cup is the single largest influx of financing into the DP World Tour, or the European Tour, period. The most right. that they live off that for 2 years. They just do. So, yeah, there's a vested interest in all the fellows who play the European or DP World Tour. Of course, the DP World Tour, we know what that is, and there's a lot of money that comes from somewhere else there too now. But it used to be. As far as the PGA Tour and what they did the last Ryder Cup, they made the players play all of those events and wore them out up to the Ryder Cup. All the complaints were listened to, obviously, and so they ended it 5 weeks out. And what did these prima donnas in some instances, I mean, there really is, some of these guys do? What did they do? Obviously, they sat on their asses. I don't think they were out in competitive rounds anywhere. A couple of guys did, a few guys did, but no, it's too much golf, too little golf. You'll practice. Scottie Scheffler obviously did a lot of work while he was, you know, down, but not in competitive rounds, not in getting reps, as Tiger Woods would say. So yeah. I think it's been two Ryder Cups in a row that were just major league mess ups, if you will, for lack of a better term, I'd like to say, for the U.S. team.
Yeah. I mean, we talked with Steve, Art Selinger was on with us a while back, and he said, and just in his opinion, but he said the U.S. never seems to get the point of what wins in a Ryder Cup, which is hitting fairways and good putting, right? Time after time after time. And yet here we saw the wildness of the driving on the U.S. team on that very first hole, which seemed like 80% of every day, almost 80% of American players on that first hole hit it in the rough. Nobody could seem to find the fairway. Once in a while they would. And I remember just kind of like almost celebrating when you see a guy hit the fairway because they're all pulling it way left. They were all, and I'd be like, here we go, right? All of a sudden now you got your approach shot and you're in 9 inches of grass and you're lucky to leave it 20 yards short of the green. And time after time they kept doing it. And Art was like, put Steve Stricker on the team.
That's what I said.
And put Steve, somebody who can hit every fairway and is a really solid putter. I don't care what tour he's playing on or anything else, but find those guys. And instead, you got Sam Burns who doesn't do anything for you. Ricky and nobody. We all love Jordan Spieth.
Take a
but
pill.
The freaking guy's got to figure out his swing, doesn't he, at some point? I mean, it's all over the place. It's left. It's right. He plays a great hole. And then he bogeys the next three.
Well, what they said on the broadcast, and Steve, validate this because you're, you know, a top instructor in the world. That first hole at the Ryder Cup, year in and year out when they play it, the first hole is singularly the most important shot you have to set the tone. And that's what they said over and over again. And we set the tone. It was kind of like the orchestra still tuning up in the middle of Tchaikovsky's Fifth Symphony. They just didn't do a good job. Bad notes.
Yeah. And guys, this is another thing that you can't get the flavor of it until you're there. The way they position the stands around that first tee is like a Coliseum. Oh, my God.
Yeah, this brutal.
They can barely put the ball on the tee. They can barely now. Hang on here, guys. I'm going to give you a little commentary here. I'm at the National Rent-A-Car PGA Junior League Championship. My guy Cooper McDowell is getting ready to hit his first shot. It's a par three. It's got about an 8-iron. Pins at the front right. It's a downhill shot, and he's getting ready right here.
Balls on the tee.
Hits it up. The ball's in the air. Right at the pin. It's the right distance. It's going to be a little bit short, but that's okay.
That's short of the
green. Short of the pin.
Got the head down. Yeah, I got the short of the pin. Head down, walking off. Bad body language there.
Isn't that indicative of nerves, though, when you leave shots short like that? You know, gripping a little tight or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, well, we're talking about nerves in the Ryder Cup and the first tee, man. I'm telling you what, Chad Campbell back in 2008 told Ben Curtis, he said, I could barely get the ball on the tee.
Yeah, he did. Well, what about Hunter Mahan when he had a couple of Steve,
they showed that a few times.
Oh God, brutal watch.
Man. Yeah,
so it does mean something to these guys. We obviously know that, you know, that they feel that kind of pressure. So it obviously means something, and yet they seemingly are not prepared. They seem like they as Frank was saying, they take too much time off. I think Max Homa played in Napa, and I think Justin Thomas played as well.
Yes,
they did. Those guys kind of played late and stayed competitive till almost time to go to Europe.
Well, they were warming up in the wine cellar at Napa.
The rest of the guys were doing whatever they did. And again, it kind of showed. I mean, it just looked like they didn't, I don't know. And so that being said, and who knows how they'll fix that, but I think they got to fix something seriously, and they got to get captains that are going to really buckle down and say, we're going to take the best guys. We don't care who your friends are or anything else. To an extent, I get that. But if nobody likes Patrick Reed, but Patrick Reed can win you points, don't you still put Patrick, and I'm just using him as an example, but don't you put Patrick Reed on the team and not worry about whether or not they'll all get along. If you're scoring and winning and making putts, we all like you. At least for a week, we can like anybody. Isn't that the case? Instead of, well, nobody likes Patrick, well, we better not put Patrick out there.
Well, wait a minute. What about what Brooks Koepka said afterwards? You know, it just showed, he said, F all these country club boys.
Yep.
So that but does that show
more
you
about what? The Live Tour. That was about him going to the Live Tour.
It was.
He had a quote from that. Yeah.
But still,
what's the writer's name? Shipnick?
Adam Shipnick, yeah.
Yeah, that's right,
there's a
book.
Big shit storm for Shipnick right now.
Yeah. There was a big, a quote from him about the LIV Tour was, these guys didn't like Koepka and other guys going to LIV Tour, and basically Koepka said, screw those guys.
Yeah, he said, F those country club boys. That was his quote.
Yeah. Uh-huh. He said, I grew up with nothing. I had three surgeries in the last year. They're going to hand me $130 million. Yeah, I'm going to take it. And you guys can all kiss my ass.
So that tells you that was even in the back of his mind when he was there playing anyway. Obviously, it came out now. So,
but it seems like he's also friendly, if you will, because even when Zach Johnson picked him, you know, he's a pick. He didn't automatically qualify. And people, obviously, I was there, and people asked Zach, well, what about the differences here, the LIV Tour guys and all that? And how he said, everybody likes Koepka. He's fine. Everybody, Brooks is a guy. Brooks will play.
Maybe not
Brooks
now.
Stage. Brooks will win all these. Well, he picked him because Brooks proves, usually, in big events, that he comes through. Did not at the Ryder Cup, but usually does come through. And that's all I'm saying is, you know, there's a reason Patrick Reed, and I'm not beating his drum, but, you know, is nicknamed Captain America. I mean, there's some guys that are Ian Poulter on the other side that just seem to rise to the occasion.
And there's a reason Jack the Ripper was named that, too, but that's beside the point. That's another story.
Yeah, I don't know what that story is. Right, but
it's not good.
Whatever left field you're going to say. But it's like, find the guys. It bothers me. It bothers me that we're trying to have a nice little social event there. Now, okay, having said all that, what about the controversy with the hat, Steve? What'd you think about Cantlay? Should these guys get paid?
See, it's all about golf, right?
They wanted to wear a hat or not wear a hat, and even if that was a made-up story, then Murph that or put that into the caddy situation with Jolikava and Rory. Comments
and
on all
Bones
and Bones, you know, and everybody else. What do you think, Frank? I mean, Steve?
No, Steve, yeah.
Well, I mean, all roads lead back to the dollar, you know? I mean, they've talked about this for many years. Some players mistakenly brought up the fact that, hey, everyone's making a lot of money. Frank said the DP World Tour is making the majority of the funds for this event. PGA of America makes a ton of money from this event. Why don't the stars of the event make any money from the event? That's the question. You know, that's kind of it's supposed to be an unwritten rule that you don't talk about it because it's an honor. The big bluff is everyone, hey, I'm going to play for my country. I'm going to play for my, that's the whole con job that the PGA of America does on these players. You get to play for your country. We get to make money, but you get to play for your country.
And, no different than the Olympics.
Well, I mean, those players, the athletes make money. I mean, Michael Phelps made money while he was an amateur swimmer.
Sure.
I mean, Usain Bolt made money while he was an amateur.
But to Frank's point, probably not from the Olympic Committee, right? Made outside money.
Yeah.
Right, but not the Olympic Committee. So should the PGA of America, despite the fact make a number, they made $75 million for the Ryder Cup. Should they take a couple hundred thousand for each player and give them? I mean, I don't think any of those players are demanding big paychecks saying, well, we need to make millions off of this, but they see all the signage, they see NBC, Televote, everybody's Sky TV, everybody's making money except for them. And then they're like, well, somebody even said from the PGA of America, well, they have all their expenses covered. I'm like, well, thank you. Am I supposed to pay my airfare now too?
Let's be real about that. They got back in 2008, the players got $12,000 for their expenses. I mean, they've got their coaches there. They've got their physios there. They've got their family there. They've got tremendous amount of expenses. You know, they probably had, back in 08, probably Ben Curtis probably had $25,000 to $30,000 worth of expenses that week. You know, that doesn't pay for that, $12,000.
I guess I'm going blank here on this, but $12,000 is all they didn't get their expenses covered.
The PGA of America didn't pay for me to come there. Ben had to pay me to go there. Yeah. You know, I mean, I had expenses.
Yeah.
I had hotel rooms. I had, you know, and plus his family. So it's not like, yeah, the PGA pays their expenses, the player and the caddy, but they don't pay all the family and all that. You know, this is a big event for these players, you know?
Yeah.
Get started on how I feel about the PGA of America sometimes, but
no, but should they get paid? What do you think, Frank? Should there be some stipend? I think there should be.
I do.
I think they could make them happy because you're good friends with Mark O'Meara, Steve, and go way back, you and Hank and Mark O'Meara, and he got stink put on him because he was the guy who kind of took over for Tiger was there and all these other guys, but somehow O'Meara is the one who got the the smell of, well, of being a greedy golfer.
He laid on the sword for everybody, because he was, everyone in the locker room had talked about it. Tiger talked about it. Dave Duval talked about it.
Yeah.
And Mark spoke for the players. And just, I mean, not in a threatening way, but just, hey, guys, is there any way that we, you know, hey, we got, you know, is there any way that we can get some type of compensation? Yeah. Everyone's making a lot of money. We're not making anything. And, I mean, when the hammer came down, Tiger and David Duval and everybody else that was bitching in the locker rooms
clammed
went silent.
Up. Yep. Clammed
they went
up.
Silent.
Yeah. We're behind you, boy. We're behind you, Mark. We're behind you. Yeah. Way behind you.
And Mark might have been in line to be a captain or something at some point down the road and never got sniffed. I mean, never heard a word about it. Yeah. So I think that there's some, and in today's players, now you're looking at young players, right? Where those guys are older players. But even in when you bring up O'Meara, the point to that is, yes, it would seem disingenuous for Tiger to say, boy, I should get more. Like, how much more money does Tiger? But they're not all Tiger. Mark O'Meara is certainly doing well and is not dirt poor. But, you know, his money and his expenses are very different than Tiger's, right? Not the whole private jet thing and all that. And that's the same thing with the Ryder Cup. There's guys in the Ryder Cup who are not Jordan Spieth that are, you know, haven't got hundreds of millions in endorsements and everything else coming along. And so if you're Wyndham Clark, I don't know how much money the guy's got, but it kind of might.
What about Harmon?
You, right? If you're like, I got to spend 50 grand to do this.
But maybe that, you know, there's a lot of ways for the players to get compensated. Maybe some of their bonus money from the manufacturers is, hey, if I make the Ryder Cup team, because now most of the endorsement dollars are based on world ranking points. The more world ranking points you get, the more your units go up in terms of what you get paid. So, I mean, maybe that's a way to get around it. I don't know.
It'd just be nice to take it out of the equation is all I'm saying. I'm like, okay, I get it. Nobody says you got to make ridiculous money to be on a Ryder Cup, but let's just take it out of the equation. Give them, I keep bringing up the number, but 100 grand or something. Doesn't affect the PGA of America or any of the money they're bringing in, but at least takes that out of the equation. Nobody cares about it anymore. You're like, okay, I'm making a little bit of money doing this. I'm curious what they do on the European tour. I mean, the European side, Frank, do you know the same way? It's just an honor to make it. You don't get paid, or do you?
I can't answer that, to be honest.
Be curious, because it doesn't seem to come up on their side, does it?
I've never heard it come up on their side. But as we close out the Ryder Cup conversation, who's going to be the captain at Bethpage? I would pick Phil Mickelson.
Ooh, that would be I would love that one.
I would, that too. That would be fabulous and controversial.
Yeah, it'd be controversial. Yeah. But I think, just like the players,
well-deserved.
Pick the best. He and Tiger. You know, could Tiger at some point's got to be a captain, doesn't he? I know he kind of thinks he can still play.
Well, they're already saying that Tiger's going to be the captain. That's out everywhere.
Well, I heard Stuart Sink's name come up.
Oh, well, I did too. I did too, but more so Tiger.
Because Stuart's in that crowd. I mean, if you notice who the assistant captains were, they're all former President's Cup. It's all those same guys. And I think that's, to me, is kind of the problem is – and I say good old boy, and I'm saying it in a bad way, but it's the same group of people that are picking the same group of captains who then take the same group of players who are friends, and every now and then you throw in somebody else, and if they automatically qualify, you can't do anything about it, but they kind of do what they always do. And then they sit there wondering, what do we always say, Frank? What's the definition of insanity? Just keep doing the same thing over and over and expect a different outcome?
Kind of like this show.
They keep doing it. They keep doing the same thing, and sure enough, they get their butt kicked again.
Yeah. I don't know.
Drives me crazy.
I think Phil would be just a fantastic pick as captain.
It would. Yes. And you know what? The fans in New York love Phil.
Yes, they do.
Yes, they do.
Oh, man, that would be I can't see him doing it, but I'd love to see him do it.
Oh, my God. It would just stir it up.
What about the Rory McIlroy? And again, we're talking with Steve Johnson, who's the director of instruction at Vaquero Country Club in South Lake, Texas, in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. What about Rory and LaCava? Both you guys, I'm curious what you think about that. Was it way blown up, or was Rory in the right? Was LaCava okay to be over celebrating? What do you guys think,
Steve?
There's emotions there, and you know what? When you're a caddy, you've got to really take a back seat to there's a caste system on the PGA Tour, and it goes player, family, agents, caddy, volunteers, and teachers. The last.
It'd be you.
Oh, yeah.
And then below that would be media. Frank Joey and I.
Yeah, then blow, that's media.
Way out of line. Way out of line. He needs to be a back.
I think so too. Well, it's like Stevie. Yeah. Like Stevie used to do. The first thing he would do after the final putt was dropped is rip that bib off so he could show his Valvoline sponsorship because he was a race driver. First thing he did every time. Every time. I said, are you in golf? Or are you in racing? What do you want to do, boy? You know, come on.
It's
nuts. But you know, you said that. You said that right. Media, and guess what? We're the good guys, basically. I mean, we ask very pointy questions. And Steve, you can be as controversial as anybody, as Tim or me or all of us. But we don't take it to the point of some of the other media. So I think we're getting a bad name by some of the other media out there. I will not say names, but we all know who they are, that act like horses' asses to the players.
Well, some of them are definitely going behind the scenes and trying to get dirt. Right, I mean that's their objective. They're kind of
absolutely.
They're not trying to just tell stories and find out. They're trying to find dirt.
They're trying to find sensationalistic journalism, and that's what it is. Yeah. You know, why don't you go to work for the Inquirer? You know, if that's what you want to do.
Yeah. Which is not just golf. I mean, I know you're talking in a general sense. That could be in politics and Washington, whatever. There's some that are just digging for dirt. Yeah. Right? Some media, and it kind of taints all media. Who most of us love the sport, whatever we're covering and talking about. And we'd love to see it grow and get better and bigger and all positive things. And if something bad happens, I don't want to put our head in the sand, right?
No,
if something happened,
we don't.
Ryder Cup, we honestly say, well, here's what stunk about what happened. But we also promote and try to build it up. That incident and whether or not there was truth to the wearing a cap or not, which kind of brings the whole LaCava Rory thing tied in with the cap, him waving his hat. Was that even a story, or was because Cantlay denies I had any problem wearing the hat?
Rebrand that Dancing with the Stars. You know, I believe there's more to that than it didn't fit. That's a bunch of crap.
Yeah, it's not that it didn't fit. Now, the other point was it Shoffley's part of that too became the Netflix series, right? So Shoffley's dad, who's also his agent, wanted to change some of the terminology. They all signed agreements, right? Contracts, if you will, to play Ryder Cup with PGA of America. And he wanted to change some of that because he did not want the Netflix documentary crew inside the ropes and inside the locker room for the Ryder Cup. And the PGA basically, according to Shoffley's dad, said, hey, either sign this or he's off the team. You got 2 days to decide. Something like that. And kind of came down hard on him. And that Shoffley and Cantlay are good friends, very, very good friends. That seem to play a role in it too, that they're going, wait a minute, what do you mean you're going to kick the guy off the team because we don't want the Netflix crew on site? And so they took a vote, and the
smelly
team
underbelly
said,
came out.
Yeah, they said don't bring him in. We don't want the Netflix crew. And part of that was we don't get paid for the Netflix documentary. That money goes to PGA Tour and PGA of America for, again, using us as the stars of the show, but we don't get paid anything for it. So why should we let them inside at Ryder Cup?
They should all go get their SAG cards immediately. All of them apply for your SAG card.
There's a lot of stuff going on that's just weird. You know, it just seems
a lot of crap.
Taint
outside of the game of golf.
One last thought on that Joey LaCava deal. I mean, my stance has always been that the Europeans do this great. When they're playing an away game at the Ryder Cup, they are very gracious competitors. They until the very end, and if they win, you know, they celebrate. But, you know, we've got to be low key over there. We don't want to wake those fans up. We don't want to, you know.
By that time, it was kind of over anyway. By the time LaCava celebrated.
Well, what about the bones issue in the parking lot? Is McIlroy's getting into the $100,000 car? And
wasn't Bones just kind of being a mediator?
He was trying to be, I think. What do you think, Steve?
That's what I heard. I heard he was being trying to kind
calm
of
Rory down.
Negotiator, you know, just be an arbitrator or something.
Because Rory was obviously yelling, but they said it was LaCava who was 20 yards behind the camera. You couldn't see him, but LaCava was by the locker room or the door that they came out of, and that's who Rory was throwing a fit at. And Bones was trying to, hey, everything's fine. And then Lowry came over, right, Shane Lowry, to kind of mediate as well. I'll be honest. Yeah. It was TMZ.
When I heard somebody from Sky Sports. One of the guys from Sky Sports asked a question that ticked him off too. Right about then. So
there's
just too much drama, too little golf.
But having said that, aren't we all excited about the next one that comes up? I mean, this might be drama, but boy, it sets the page for, you know, when golf kind of becomes this gentleman's sport, and it is that way a lot of times. This now it's almost the Ryder Cup becomes like NFL stuff.
You know, guys
are jawing at each other and they hate the other team and it's the 49ers and the Cowboys and I can't stand the Eagles. It kind of becomes that.
Here, Steve, tell me what you think about this. I think at the Ryder Cup at Bethpage, you know, like we have the announcer on the first tee, at the famous guy, I can't think of his name, darn it, that did the Open Championship all the time. Yeah. Such a Roy McIlroy, you know, funny voice. Yeah. Yeah. I want Ric Flair to call the first tee at the next Ryder Cup. How appropriate at Bethpage? Come on.
You got my vote, Frank.
I'd love that. If we're going to stir it up, let's stir it.
Oh, there will be something. There'll be
a bunch of crap.
Fine. Some drunken, no offense, New York, some drunken New Yorker is going to say something very inappropriate, and it's going to be headlines, and it's going to, somebody's going to want to get after somebody in the crowd. You know it's going to
happen. Oh, McIlroy's going to take it. He's going to take a bullet.
I got to tell you guys, I got a funny story from Ryder Cup. This is back when they played it at Kiowa. Hank was there with Mark Hamira, and it's at Kiowa. They're doing the opening. It is quiet out there. I mean, you know, you're there by the beach and all that, and they're doing the opening pomp and circumstance, you know, the announced the
introductions
teams
and stuff.
The introductions, And all of a sudden, out of the kind of from the horizon, a little plane, you can see this plane getting closer, and the plane is pulling a sign, but you can't read the sign because the sign's not close enough. So finally, this plane keeps coming in, and just right at the height of the introductions, and the plane comes overhead, and it says, "Visit Dick's Titty Bar, something, something, something."
I remember that. It was a strip club.
Probably dropping glitter.
That guy with a banner. Had a strip club over top of the gentlemanly game of Ryder Cup. And then here comes this guy.
The war on the shore, absolutely.
Well, we're looking forward to it. I mean, it's going to be some drama.
Steve, give us an update. What's happening out there at the tournament?
Well, we're two holes in, and my guy was short of the pin on the first hole, in the tall sticks on the second hole, but he's got a partner, so it's still early in the game. Texas has made three birdies on the first hole scramble and looking pretty good against Oklahoma. I don't hear a lot of Oklahoma cheers right now. There are a lot of Texas cheers.
Are you hearing any SEC cheers out there? SEC.
No, hey, this is a very strict competition here.
Okay. Steve, I leave tomorrow to go do an event. I'm going to be in Philadelphia and I'll play. On Monday, I'm going to play at Aronimink. And I'm curious, and maybe I've told you this, maybe I haven't, but have you ever played there? Do you know anything about the course?
I've never played there. I've been there. Old school. It's beautiful. You'll love it.
Yeah. Don't wear a muscle shirt in there.
No wife beater.
No tank tops?
No.
Thanks, guys. No. Where would I be without you two? Because that's exactly what I had packed. Yeah, I had four of them. Every different round.
I'm going to send the head pro your headshot and say, watch out for this guy on your course.
Yeah.
Take some pictures, Tim.
Take some pictures. Put it in social media for us.
You think LaCava made an ass of himself. Where do you see me at Aronimink?
I told you should take me so I could caddy for you. That'd be fun. A bottle of Glenlivet in one hand and a bag on my shoulder. Let's go.
Frank knows how to caddy.
Hell yeah.
I'll take two clubs. That's all, Tim. You decide which two. Carrying two clubs.
Not a wedge.
Better not leave a ball.
Guys, I got to go. But, hey, can you say a little prayer for my player? Say a little prayer for my player.
We're pulling for him.
Some good hits.
Hey, when is Vaquero back in business?
26th of October for the members. Yeah, I think I'm going to be able to play it sometime in 2026.
No, God, I hope I'm alive by then.
I'll come out there. I'll come out. Yeah, looking forward to it.
All right, thanks, Steve, for having me, guys.
Good luck today.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it, buddy. Bye-bye. See ya.
Steve Johnson with Vaquero Golf Club, and obviously used to be with Hank Haney for years and years.
Oh, yeah.
Them in business together, so that's how he knows.
Are they still friends?
The Ryder Cup stuff?
Of course they are.
Just Hank's kind of retiring, kind of doing nothing, you know, except for some infomercials here and there. So there's not that much business. And Steve, smartly enough, you know, kind of just doing his own thing. He's younger than Hank, and so he's... You know, still willing to get out there. And Hank, I think, just wants to chill. You know,
I don't blame him. If I had the pad that he has out in, was it Cabo?
He's got a few different. I think Scottsdale and Cabo. He's got a few different.
Scottsdale. So I've got a pad in Scottsdale. It's called Rogers' house. My good friend Rogers' house.
They're all in with what's the guy's name? Mike Melman, right? With Discovery.
Yeah.
And so that's Vaquero, where Steve is a Discovery Land course. And so and I think that's where Hank is at Cabo, is one of those developments. Hank actually used to live at Vaquero.
Yes.
That's what a long time ago.
Said,
he had a house at Vaquero. So so anyway, there's that connection, which is pretty sweet. So all right, Frank. I think I've got to go to East Texas today because one of the courses that I do a lot of stuff with in my local radio show here at CBS in Dallas is named Pinnacle Golf Club, and it's out on a lake there in Cedar Creek Lake, and they've got their grand opening. They've had their greens down all spring and summer.
You're a busy man.
And so I've got to go out there today and play their kind of reopening tournament they're having there. So,
well, let's take a break,
East Texas,
and then I'll bring it back in and close it out. Unless you want to come back in with some final parting thoughts.
Sure, we can.
Let's take a quick break.
Okay, you're listening to Golf Talk America, and Frank and Tim without Steve. We'll be back right after this.
Okay, everybody, Frank Bassett for Golf Talk America, and I want to tell you something about one of my favorite, if not my all-time favorite, food delivery that I get. I get it from HelloFresh. HelloFresh, I mean, you get farm-fresh, pre-portioned ingredients, seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. You got to skip your trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and what's so important today, affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. Folks, a crazy schedule can make it easy to fall back into your dinnertime recipe rut. Keep mealtime exciting with over 40 recipes to choose from every week. 40 recipes, so there's always something delicious to discover with HelloFresh. You can turn to HelloFresh Market for yummy add-ons and enjoy the season's limited-time fall flavors. I mean, it's awesome. Feast on desserts like the apple cider cake, which I absolutely love, with a caramel sauce. Or please a crowd with appetizers like the barbecue pulled pork nachos. Yum. And don't forget the mini pumpkin cheesecake. Perfect for me. I mean, I absolutely love it. So here's what I want you to do, folks. I want you to go to HelloFresh and get it. Order it. They have some great deals going on right now. And I got to tell you, I don't know how many times I can tell you. I absolutely love it. I really, really, really do. So, here's what you got to do. You got to go to HelloFresh.com/50GTA and use code 50GTA for 50% off plus free shipping. That's HelloFresh.com/50GTA and use code 50GTA for 50% off plus free shipping. Okay? Do it today, folks. You're going to love it.
Welcome back to Golf Talk America, Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett coming with you. As I said, Frank, before the break, that I have to go to East Texas, and then next week I get on a plane. Sometimes we get to do some cool stuff, like you went to Macklemore.
Oh my gosh.
Hopefully we'll get back out there and do some shows from there. That's in the beautiful hills outside of Chattanooga,
Tennessee. Yeah, it's on the very top of Lookout Mountain. It is absolutely, it's magical. It truly is.
So every now and then we get to do this, and I'm coming up next week. I'll go for the second year. I was there last year to the NCAA Invitational White Sands Golf Tournament at Atlantis in the Bahamas.
Yes.
And so I'll be there, and we'll do some shows next week from there and talk to some of the different teams. Ironically, and these are...
Do it poolside again so I can and do the do the panoramic picture for me. Okay.
My alma mater, Southern Illinois, their team will be there. That's Santa Clara, cool. University out of California, is the host team, but Salukis of Southern Illinois will be there, and North Texas. And North Texas, in all honesty, has produced some pretty good golfers as of late.
Yes.
So University of North Texas, just off in Denton, just north of Dallas, is also going to be there. So anyway,
do you know that school, North Texas State University? Okay. Which is now the University of North Texas, I guess.
There you go. Correct. Very good musical school.
Music school.
I think you're going to say something about that.
I was just going to say that they produce a lot of fabulous music. As you know, I was a music major and have a degree in music.
Yeah.
fabulous musicians. The 1 o'clock band, the jazz band from that school, wins every award year in and year out. I mean, they're like a, oh my God, incredible school. So yeah, I'm a fan of North Texas.
Why did they? How did they?
Just because they had a guy named Haney, also not Hank, that was one of the best trumpet teachers in the world, and they just had a lot of great musicians that sort of gravitated there. Bob Bayette, another trumpet player out of Chicago, that was in Dallas, that was there, and just musicians flock to great musicians, like you go to schools with great coaches, like Small, you know, at Illinois. And
you know who went there, and I know this, but didn't graduate from there because, well, I guess he had a lot of money to be made. No. He got off and started with this band called the Eagles. But Don Henley,
yes,
went to North Texas.
Yes, he did. It's a fabulous music school
there. Yeah. He was a drummer. Is a drummer.
Yeah.
But yeah, they've had some great alumni that have been. But anyway, so
we're talking music real quick. Let me throw something out. We had an event here in Nashville, giving some people from their Walk of Fame awards, and I'd never met Don McLean was here.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Bye-bye, Miss America.
He's
got
to be in the 80s, I guess, right?
He looks fabulous. 80s? Looks fabulous.
Yeah?
He said, I'm not a country music guy. I'm not a pop music guy. I'm just an American.
Yeah.
And everybody just cheered.
It's a classic.
Crazy.
It's a classic.
And Vince Gill was there, our friend Vince Gill, and a lot of folks. I mean, Darius Rucker. Well, it was a cool event. And all what do those people have in common with us? They all of them basically have been on the show at one time or another. Well, not Don McLean, but they all love golf. And that was the conversation, golf, and more golf. It wasn't music and your star on the Country Music Walk of Fame. It was golf.
Nice.
When's the last time you played, man? Where are you playing? What are you?
Yeah. It's a common thread for
very much
for a lot of people.
Musicians Texas, love golfers.
I didn't think about this. I mean, I wasn't coming out clearly on it, but Sebastian Munoz and Carlos Ortiz, that's the two guys I was thinking of, recently played at University of North Texas. And very, very good professional golfers now. So anyway, they're going to be at that event, and so we'll tell you more about that when I get to the Bahamas. So I'm looking forward to it. In the meantime,
one more thank you I've got to throw out before you
tell us. Is this your food connection?
Well, yeah, we're going to talk. I'm going to talk a little bit. I did earlier talk a little bit about it, but HelloFresh, man. I got to tell you. They've been shipping me some stuff, and hopefully, I'm going to give them some shout-outs because their product is incredible. It really is.
What are they about? What do they send you?
Different. It's prepackaged meals that are you're ready to prepare them, but you prepare them like you would prepare a normal meal, but they're all gourmet, from burgers to I mean—
Like Italian, Chinese, different types of foods and stuff?
Even keto. It's really cool stuff. Anyway, I didn't want to go too much deeper into that, but I wanted to talk about one of our big sponsors, which is Invited Clubs. It's formerly Club Corps.
Yes.
Guess who's on the cover of this month's Invited Clubs Bluegrass Magazine?
I don't know. I can only guess.
Can you believe it? Can you believe they put my mug on the cover?
Does each club have their own magazine?
They do.
Okay.
But, yeah, they do. But it goes out to all the members and then all the sponsors that are in that magazine. And it's kind of like the social paper. But I was very honored that they asked me to be on the cover and wrote an article.
That is nice.
It was really, really cool. And the article really was more about my past and music and, of course, the title of the PGA Tour, how we started all this with the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
And it was really cool. So I'm getting – you can imagine the kind of crap I get now when I go out to the club when I'm standing next to my PXGs. Leaning on them with my leg crossed.
Was it an action photo or was it a posed?
It was posed. Yeah, it was posed. And
did you have your hair looking good there, Frank?
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's real cool.
Down halfway down your back now, isn't it? You got a ponytail?
No.
You want one.
But now I know. So now that we're talking about the cool stuff I've gotten to do, you're going to go to the Bahamas and do that, but you're going to do something else coming up too that's pretty doggone impressive.
Well, tomorrow, so I was saying that going to Runnymede, so I go, if that's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Going to Philadelphia? Yeah. So it's with Gary Player's thing, and we talked about he did an event here for his foundation. He and his wife, who recently passed or a few years ago passed, they have a foundation that helps disadvantaged kids. Great, great cause. And his daughter's all part of it. They live in the Philadelphia area, his daughter does. And ironically, also in that Philadelphia area is a course called Runnymede. If you haven't been to it, it's one of those old classic 100-year-old country clubs, and he won, Gary Player, his first major, which was the 1962 PGA Championship at Runnymede. And so he's having a foundation event there. So I did the one here in May, and they asked me to come and MC and play with them in that event coming up. So I leave tomorrow, and we're supposed to play. There's supposed to be rain, so I don't know if it'll happen. But Gary and I and another friend, just three of us, or maybe four, are supposed to play tomorrow. And if we can get it in because of the weather, just a friendly game, I hope. and yeah, I hope. I'll come back broke.
You want me to call HelloFresh and have them send you some food?
Some free food. And then on Sunday, they have what they're calling a bunker clinic. And so the big donors, it's like $25,000 a player to play in this thing, right? So it's a big money raiser for the foundation. And so the big money guys are going to have a private bunker exhibition by Trevor Immelman. Ian Baker Finch and Gary Player will be there. And I have to kind of introduce them and do whatever. And then they're going to show off to their people how you hit bunker shots and all that, which I'll be the first one in line to watch. And then have a big dinner Sunday night. And then Monday we get up and go play at Aronimink in the event. So, yeah, it's going to be, a lot of fun. I'll tell you more about it after we do it. But I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Yeah. It's an honor to get to do that. And congrats, buddy. That's really cool stuff. Tell Mr. Player I said hello and Trevor and IBF. Yeah.
He's still very, very good. I told you when he came here for that event back in May, he's almost 89. I think he's about to turn 89 or just did turn 89 and shot a 66. He came here. I'm like, and I talked to my buddy who plays with him and he's on his board with him, his foundation. I said, you know, just curious, does he play like the most forward? He goes, he plays the white tees, whatever they are. But he goes, it's 62 or 300 yards. They're not certainly long, but they're not, he's not playing 4,000 yards or anything. He said, and he shoots a 66, which most guys from, 60 years of age and on play white tees, right? So it's not, he's 30 years older than some of these guys. And
gold,
plays the same tees.
Gold or green in
still
a lot of cases.
Still shoots a 66. So that's what I'm saying. I might be so embarrassed.
No, you won't. Just have fun.
I should,
just have fun, and he'll gonna get. He's gonna give you. You know, he's gonna give you pointers. You know that's gonna happen. So
yes. So my one-handed chip. My friend told me the other day. He goes, yeah, you know, you're gonna hear about the one-handed chipping. I go, yeah, I know. He goes,
you been practicing that this week?
Oh yeah, I got it. It's pretty good. I got it down pretty good. But it looks goofy as hell, right? I mean,
who cares?
I'm trying to do what Matt Fitzpatrick, right? He's got the right hand low because he had some chipping yips, right? He's a Ryder Cupper, but he decided, okay, the left hand was his dominant. That was good. He just puts his right hand like a putting stroke, but he puts his right hand low. So it still looks kind of weird, but he hits nice little chips. And so I kind of worked with that a little bit too. I don't know what it is. Somebody will tell me at some point and figure it out, but it's my right hand, Frank. My right hand is almost like young Frankenstein. Like somebody put me together and put a right hand on me that somehow has a mind of its own. Because when it comes in the downswing on a little chip, it wants to flip that club so fast that I sit there looking at myself going, I can only tell myself so many times, don't flip here, don't flip. And yet I do it. So there's some kind of twitch fiber in my brain and my hand.
Tape your wrist together.
something.
And just do a street. I emulate Steve Stricker and his chipping. And it's worked for me. It works well for me.
Which is very stiff looking. Yes. Right? But it works because it takes your hands out of it.
Yeah. You got to take your hands out of it. Now, my issue has been bunkers. So I need this bunker help. I really
do.
I've had some real issues. And going from wet sand to fluffy sand to packed sand to, there are so many different ways.
Those pros are so good out of it. They don't mind being in the sand, right? Almost any sand shot I get is sometimes British Open stuff. But those guys hit a shot, and even the announcers are going, oh, he's fine. He missed the green, but that's a good up and down. I hit it in the sand, and I'm like, oh, crap.
I know. I hit it in the sand, and I go get the cocoa butter and a beach towel.
I look around, and I go, hey, look over there. And they all look around.
Whoa, great shot.
Throw it up like with some sand in my hand with it, and then my follow-through, look at that shot. Yeah, I hate that, right? I mean, I want to but those pros, they just hit it so solid, and they don't care. They could be 30 yards away from the cup,
You should accelerate, right? Accelerate through the ball. Every time I do, I almost kill somebody on the next tee box.
Yes.
Because it goes across the grid.
Or you blade it right into the
up
lip,
under
the bunker,
lip, yeah.
Right, bang, it goes right in there, and it rolls back to your feet, and you're like, I don't know.
No, I put it up under the lip, and it stayed there.
I used to like bunker shots.
Okay, let's dig that out. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's all part of my same. That's that part of my game. I don't know. Again, my vicious right hand, my evil right hand is. So I have in the past, actually, just to put a capper on this, I have use the one-handed sand shot too, Frank. Because my left hand, that's a little trickier because it's a lot of resistance, right?
I've never had a problem with that. I've done that a lot, and that's usually my left hand still on the club as I'm throwing the club out of the sand trap. That's my left-handed
follow
shot.
Through. Yes, the wrists follow through. And
yep, absolutely.
Well, hopefully I'll have some good stories for you come back on Tuesday. So
yeah, definitely take some great shots over this weekend too, and let's stick them on social media so our 475,000 followers can
me and Gary,
can enjoy
Gary putting me in a headlock. Yeah. Showing me how to do sit-ups and push-ups.
And get Emelman, get Trevor to come on with us, too. That'll be fun. And IBF. Yeah, IBF's a great guy to have on, too. It'll be fun.
Yeah, yeah.
So Mr. So Player said he'd come on. I mean, he's already told you that.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard. It's just, yeah.
I know.
Guys like that, his schedule, Frank, you should seriously listen. He'll tell you, like, in a given week that, you know, I started my week in Tokyo. I went from Tokyo to Hawaii, from Hawaii to Argentina. I mean, you're going in a week?
Swam across the Rio Grande and came in at Eagle Pass,
he does
Texas.
Time and time and time again. It's like week after week.
Keeps him,
he's going
keeps
all over
him young,
the world.
Keeps him alive.
I guess.
Gotta keep moving.
He claims he's flown more than anybody in history. Quite literally, anybody in history. Because
I don't know about that.
Yeah, it's hard to say, right? But he says, I've been doing this for. He's 88. I've been doing this for 70 years, flying around the globe. And if you add the miles up, I mean, I don't know who's going to dispute him, but he has flown a lot. And I don't know, again, who's going to say, okay, I've flown more but you listen to what he says, even at his age, on a given week after week, where he goes to design courses, to look at some of the courses he's designed, or all these other things. It's amazing. I mean, that's a lot of time. At airports.
He's an interesting guy to talk to. So you'll have fun.
Nine majors that guy had.
I know.
That's a boatload of majors, right? I
mean, that's a lot.
That's right up there. Was it Hogan? He and Hogan have nine or something like that?
I think that's right. Yeah.
And they're fourth or fifth all time behind Tiger, Jack, and a couple of guys. So pretty impressive. So, all right. Well, that should do it for us. We can play some music and get on out of here. Again, check out Invited Clubs.
Absolutely.com
and check out their website because great, great courses and clubs all over the country, and you can be a member of one and brag about them like Frank and I do all the time because
we are fortunate. We get to play a lot of cool clubs.
They're very, very nice. So, all right, everybody, thanks again for being with us. Thanks to Steve Johnson with Vaquero Country Club. Come in town and go see Steve and get some lessons. He's one of the best instructors you're ever going to see, and we appreciate him coming on the show. For Frank, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks for being with us. And remember to join us next time right here for Golf Talk America.